the key to understanding the crisis in the Catholic Church is the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Portugal, 1917. We Catholics call it Our Lady of Fatima. The greatest miracle since the parting of the Red Sea, the dancing of the sun, which happened in 1917, there were messages, visions given by the Blessed Virgin Mary to three shepherd children. And part of that were a threefold secret. It's actually one secret, but three parts. And the third part of that secret, which we call the third secret of Fatima, was hidden and allegedly to be revealed in 1960. Now, also related to this is the great mystic Padre Pio. He was a Franciscan priest. He had the stigmata, which means he carried the wounds of Christ in his body. He could bilocate. He is perhaps the most miraculous man who lived in the 1900s. And he also states in the context of Our Lady of Fatima that there will be the emergence of a false church. Here's the quote from Padre Pio, and we'll go into this in depth in just a little bit. Padre Pio to Father Gabriel Amorth around the year 1960. Quote, "It is Satan who has been introduced into the bosom of the church, and within a very short time will come to rule a false church," end quote. Padre Pio also talks about the apostasy that is coming, beginning in the 1960s. So what this does is it shows us that Our Lady of Fatima had a special message for 1960. In the context of 1960, the greatest, you could say, visionary, prophet, saint, mystic of the 1900s also said that Satan had been introduced into the bosom of the church and that there will arrive a false church. If you've been listening to Archbishop Vigano, even Bishop Schneider, you hear the language of counter-church, the church in eclipse, the church in her passion. All these things go together. So today we're going to look at the third secret of Fatima briefly. I've done many videos on the third secret. They're all here on my YouTube channel, on the podcast. We're going to look at these words from St. Pio, from Padre Pio. And I think what it'll do is it will help you understand that this is not fringe, this is not conspiracy theory, this isn't the idea of some guy on a blog. This is coming from Padre Pio. And that settles it for me. All right, before we get started, I'm going to invite you all to pray with me. We'll pray the prayer of our Lord, the Our Father in Latin, and then we'll get into these quotes. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in celi, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends. Well, this quote comes to us in English thanks to Steve Skojec. Steve Skojec of 1 Peter 5. It's actually, I'm reading from an article by my friend Micah Hickson. It's from 2017. I'm just going to read you the opening here. It gives you the context of how we're getting these words from Padre Pio, and it comes via Father Gabriel Amorth, who died in the year 2016. He was, as they say, the chief exorcist in Rome. He also had a friendship with Padre Pio when he was a young priest. So that kind of puts together the relationships. Micah Hixon writes this, in a recent article on the secret of Fatima, Steve Skojic, the founder and editor of 1 Peter 5, published, to my knowledge, for the first time in the English words from Rome's chief exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth, about Padre Pio and his knowledge of the third secret of Fatima. They come from a newly published book written by Jose Maria Zavala entitled The Best Kept Secret of Fatima. 1 Peter 5's contributor, Matthew Andrew Guernsey, Andrew, I hope I said that right, was very helpful in finding these quotes. Okay, so that's the background. If you want to find the original quotes, you got to get Jose Maria Zavala's book, The Best Kept Secret of Fatima. So in this interview with Father Gabriel Amorth, they're talking a lot about Russia, the third secret of Fatima, whether the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary was ever done. Was it done properly the way Our Lady asked it? Father Gabriel Amorth, by the way, says it wasn't done satisfactorily, which is also my position. I recognize that there have been consecrations done, but what Our Lady specified was not done. Then they get to the topic of Padre Pio. And I'll kind of give you the intro here. He says, the interviewer, Zavala, says, forgive me for insisting on the third secret of Fatima. Did Padre Pio relate it, then, to the loss of faith within the church? Now, I'll pause here. You can read the third secret of Fatima. I've done, I think, two videos on it where we go through the entire text and analyze it. But the short version of the third secret that was released to the public in 2000 is that there is a city half in ruin. They see a bishop in white who they suspect to be the Pope. They go up a giant hill to a cross made of cork, and by bullets and arrows, they're all killed. Pope, cardinals, hierarchy, even all the way down to lay people. At the beginning of this vision is an angel saying penance, penance, penance. There's more details, but that's the gist of it. What's odd about the third secret that was released is that the first part of the secret and the second part of the secret have a vision. For example, the vision of hell. And then the Blessed Virgin Mary explains what that vision of hell means to the children. Same thing with the second part. The third part shows a vision, but Our Lady does not explain it. And there is good reason to believe that the third secret also had a part A and a part B. It had the vision, and then it had Our Lady explaining what that vision means. This has to do with the envelope. It has to do with firsthand testimonies. I document all that in my book, Infiltration, why we believe that there is a 3A and a 3B on the third secret of Fatima. Now, in 1960, when Padre Pio had talked to Father Gabriel Amorth about this, the third secret had not been revealed. And yet it seems from the context of this conversation, doesn't say it explicitly, that somehow Padre Pio, maybe mystically, understands or knows the third secret of Fatima. And for Padre Pio, it has to do with the apostasy of the church. Let me read a little portion here. So Zavala is interviewing Father Gabriel Amorth, and he says, did Padre Pio say anything else to you about future catastrophes, earthquakes, floods, wars, epidemics, hunger? Did he allude to the same plagues prophesied in the Holy Scriptures? So this shows that the interviewer wants to know, does the third secret have to do with plagues and, you know, disasters, earthquakes, floods? Listen carefully to what Father Gabriel Amorth says. Quote, nothing of the sort mattered to him, Padre Pio. Nothing of the sort mattered to him, however terrifying they proved to be, except for the great apostasy within the church. This was the issue that really tormented him and for which he prayed and offered a great part of his suffering, crucified out of love. And then the interviewer says, the third secret of Fatima And Father Gabriel Marf says, exactly. Is there any way to avoid something so terrible, Father Gabriel? He says, there is hope, but it's useless if it's not accompanied by works. Let us begin by consecrating Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let us recite the Holy Rosary. Let us do prayer and penance, end quote. This is why you hear me almost every day on YouTube and the podcast say, pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. Who else told you to pray the rosary every day? Padre Pio. This is the command, the precept of our time. It's not someone on YouTube making it up. It's the Blessed Mother backed up by Padre Pio. So we just got to do it. Pray the rosary every day or you're not on the team. Got to be on the team. Now, what I find interesting about this is that Padre Pio, even though he was never shown the third secret, he seems to know what the third secret is. And for him, it has to do with, I'll read the quote from Padre Pio in case you're coming in late. By the way, if you're coming in late, please like the video, give it a thumbs up. Please share this video on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, and Gab. And if you're new, please subscribe and you'll be notified of live videos. Hit the bell. You can also hit the button in the right corner. Hit the bell. You'll be notified when we go live. What's interesting is Padre Pio, in the context of the third secret, which we have something that we received in 2000, has something to do with the Pope and the leadership of the church and them being killed with bullets and arrows. Padre Pio knew that it had something to do with, and I'll read it to you again. I'm going to put it on the screen. This is the Padre Pio quote. Just a moment. It takes me a minute to copy paste. Uh-oh. No, it won't do it. Ever since they updated the program, it won't let me do it. Okay, I'm sorry. Can't see it. I'll read it to you. He says, it is Satan who has been introduced into the bosom of the church and within a very short time will come to rule a false church. Two parts here. Part one, Satan has been introduced into the bosom of the church. What year is this being stated? Father Gabriel Morf's not sure, but he says I was a new priest. So it was about 1960 in which Padre Pio told me this. So in 1960, Padre Pio is either lying or he's wrong or he's crazy or he's right. I think he's right. Satan was introduced into the bosom of the church. What's the bosom of the church? It's the heart. It's the center. It's the core. It's the command center. And what is that? Rome. Satan had been introduced into the heart, the core, the bosom of the church in 1960. Roundabouts. Second part of the quote from Padre Pio. Quote, within a very short time, he, that is Satan, will come to rule a false church. So beginning around 1960, Padre Pio said, in a short time, there will be a false church with Satan ruling it. What was he talking about? Was he talking about Lutherans? No. Was he talking about Anglicans? No. Eastern Orthodox? Maybe. No. What was he talking about? He was talking about the same principle of iniquity that Archbishop Vigano talks about, which is called the counterchurch. It goes back to the parable that our Lord Jesus Christ told us, that a man sowed his seed with good seed, and a bad man came at night and sowed weeds into his seed. And when the crop comes up, they see good wheat, and they see weeds, wheat and weeds together in the field. And people say, should we go out and rip out the weeds? He says, we might pull out the wheat. When we pull out the weeds, let's wait until the end of the harvest. That's the end of the age. And this is the idea our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, that mixed together in the kingdom are these opposing principles, church and counter church, wheat and weeds. Now, we know that the 1960s were revolutionary politically, culturally, music, art, but also for the Catholic Church. The Second Vatican Council brought in a revolution. Even people who are favorable towards the Second Vatican Council. I talked about it last week. Father Thomas Rees, the Jesuit, he talks about it being revolutionary in the 1960s. And there were people who were not happy with that. They wanted to pump the brakes. One of them is this man here on the screen. As you can see, that's Padre Pio on the right. On the left is Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. He, not at this time, this picture was taken, I believe, I'm not sure exactly, but maybe sometime between 1966 and 1968, I believe. That's Padre Pio kissing the ring of Archbishop Lefebvre, who a few years later would found the Society of St. Pius X to preserve the traditional Latin Mass, which had been allegedly abrogated, even though Benedict XVI later said it never had been abrogated. But there is Padre Pio kissing the ring of Archbishop Lefebvre. Archbishop Lefebvre. Others said, you know, the direction of the council, the implementation of the council, the new liturgy, the new liturgy for baptism, the new liturgy for confirmation, the new liturgy for confession, the Novus Ordo Mass, the new order of the Mass, which came out into the churches in 1970, the new liturgy for extreme unction. All the liturgies, all seven sacraments were in. This is moving us in a way that is modernistic. And by modernistic, I don't mean like modern technology. I mean the heresy of modernism. That is, we must update and modify Catholicism to fit the times. It's more Protestant. It's more focused on the community and less focused on the Trinity, who is the source of community. Community flows down, not up. And what we saw in the 1960s and the 1970s, I believe, of course, you can read my book on it. Maybe you think I'm crazy. I think a lot of people thought I was a conspiracy theorist. Now they realize this is actually just church history. That, in fact, Padre Pio was correct. Satan was introduced into the bosom of the church. And some kind of a false church. We don't even know exactly what's going on here, but some kind of a false church has been introduced. Look around. Most Catholics do not believe in transubstantiation. Most Catholics don't believe that you should wait until you're married to have sex. Most Catholics are in favor of same-sex marriage. Most Catholics are in favor of abortion. And when I say Catholics here, everyone's going to say, well, if they say all that, they're not real Catholics. I understand that. I'm saying people on paper who say, I'm a Catholic, like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, people who are publicly professing to be Catholic, most of those people do not hold to the faith and the morals of what Catholics believed in 1940s, 1840s, 1740s, 1640s. 940s, 640s, or even AD 40 with the apostles. It's not the same. It's not the same. I'm going to read a little bit more of this interview regarding Padre Pio. So the interviewer, Zavala, says, oh my goodness, some kind of antichrist? When did he, Padre Pio, prophesy this to you? Father Gabriel Amorf says, it must have been around 1960, since I was already a priest by then. Then he asks, was that why John the 23rd had such a panic about publishing the third secret of Fatima, so that the people wouldn't think that he was the antipope or whatever it was? A slight but knowing smile curls on the lips of Father Amorth. The Mr. Zavala asks, quote, did Padre Pio say anything else to you about future catastrophes, earthquakes, floods, wars, epidemics, hunger? Did he allude to the same plagues prophesied in the Holy Scriptures? And then Father Gabriel Amorth says this, nothing of the sort mattered to him, however terrifying they proved to be, except for the great apostasy within the church. It's the plot to destroy the church within. At the French Revolution, they attacked the church on the outside. They did infiltrate too. Mainly, they attacked on the outside. What did Nero and Diocletian do? They attacked from the outside. They took the holy women and they martyred them. They took the bishops, they martyred them. They took the popes, they killed them, they martyred them. It was attack from without. But this final attack of the great apostasy is within. It is the apostasy of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, the one with whom I dip my bread right here next to me. That's what kind of infiltration we're talking about. Gabriel Amorth then says, this was the issue that really tormented him and for which he prayed and offered a great part of his suffering, crucified out of love. And then the interviewer says, the third secret of Fatima? Father Amorth says, exactly. Is there any way to avoid something so terrible, Father Gabriel Amorth? There is hope, but it's useless if not accompanied by works. Let us begin by consecrating Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let us recite the Holy Rosary. Let us all do prayer and penance. Again, I want to thank Steve Skojek and 1 Peter 5 who made this quote available a while back. I don't think it got the attention that it deserves. And again, it comes from Zavala's book, The Best Kept Secret of Fatima. What do we do about this? Well, I think we Catholics recognize the profound sanctity of Padre Pio. He bore the stigmata. I've been to Italy. I've been and seen his body. I've prayed there. Of course, I have a devotion to him, not a huge devotion, but I recognize him as a great saint. I've asked his intercession. If he was saying that the third secret of Fatima had something to do with Satan, three things, Satan in the bosom of the church, a false church, and the great apostasy. I think we should pay attention. I think you should pay attention. And if you look around in 2021 and say, you know, the church is in bad shape. This is not the Catholicism of my grandparents, my great-grandparents. There's financial scandal. There's sex scandal. There's sodomy. There's molestation. There's heresy. There's constant fiddling with the rubrics in the liturgy. God is not the focus. Dogma is not the focus. Divine worship towards God is not the focus. The focus is social justice, being woke, aligning Catholic public works with liberal political ideologies. You know, we just saw the Vatican's inviting WHO to talk about health at the Vatican. Joe Perry from Aerosmith, Chelsea Clinton, the daughter of Hillary and Bill Clinton, Fauci. I mean, it's a clown world out there. And you can sit around and you can say, along with the USCCB and the talking heads, Catholicism is awesome. Or as Bishop Barron is saying, well, the problem with Vatican II is we never really tried Vatican II. It was falsely implemented. If we could just get back to the core of Vatican II, it'll be just amazing. And that's kind of like what you hear if you go to college and you take a class on political theory and the professor's a Marxist. And you say, well, how come every Marxist country always failed? They said, because Marxism, pure Marxism, has never been properly implemented. If we could just implement Marxism, it'd be bring about a utopia. And that's what we hear, that if we could just go back to 1962 to 1965 and distill the pure teaching of Vatican II and implement that, we would have the new springtime. We'd have the new Pentecost. Everything would be amazing. Before I sign off, there's one other quote that I want to share with Padre Pio, which is actually much more controversial than what I read to you today. If you have my book, Infiltration, it's on page 142. So controversial that I actually spent quite a bit of time chasing down the proper citation of it because I didn't want to put it in my book if it wasn't legit. And it is legit. It was said by Padre Pio towards the end of 1963. Okay, so maybe two or three years after the quotes that I've read to you today on YouTube, on the podcast. Padre Pio, after the election of Paul VI, Montini, said, quote, "Courage, courage, courage, for the church is already invaded by Freemasonry." He also added, "Freemasonry has already arrived at the slippers of the Pope," end quote. Now, you see that sometimes translated in the slippers. I try to make it as accurate as possible. But these two quotes from about 1963 show that Padre Pio believed Freemasonry. What is Freemasonry? Is it all tinfoil? Why do conspiracy theorists always talk about Freemasonry? Freemasonry is the humanitarian ideology that humans, by their own nature, can be elevated to the divine. That's what Freemasonry is. It's alchemy. That's why they always use alchemy, the analogy of alchemy in all Freemasonic liturgies. What is alchemy? You can take base metals like lead, copper, and through some sort of magical rite or secret knowledge, transubstantiate the lead into gold. That's alchemy. The reason that alchemy is the primary analogy for Freemasonic thinking is because what they want to do is they want to take your base human nature and through some kind of magic, transubstantiate it into God, which is exactly what Satan, the serpent, told Eve in the garden, that she would become Elohim. They'd become gods. This is why the Baphomet, the nasty demon-headed guy, he has tattooed on his forearms, Solve et Coagula. I've talked about that. Archbishop Vigano talks about it. Dissolve and coagulate. Rip apart and rebuild. This is the teaching of Freemasonry. It's becoming sort of the universal religion on planet Earth. It's the one world religion. We become our own gods. Divinity is us. There is no need for various religions. We can all come together into one religion because of human fraternity. And that human fraternity is the recognition that we are all human and we all can become God in our own way. And Freemasonic modernists, what they teach is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is heresy, what I'm saying right now. It's not my belief. But these modernist Judas priests, bishops, and theologians, they say, well, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But if you really pushed on their Jesuitical buttons, what they mean is Jesus, because of his altruism and his human fraternity, in his international understanding of kingdom of God, he was the Son of God because he realized in himself, he was one of the pioneers in realizing that he was the Son of God. He was divine. And we have to follow him in his trailblazing to also become divine like him. It's not about propitiation, blood atonement, baptism, the Eucharist, faith, grace, original sin. It's not about that to them. These modernists, these Freemasons, that's how they understand humanity, and that's how they understand Christ. And if you look at the documents of Vatican II, Dignitatis Humanae, Nostra Aetate, Lumen Gentium, this updated, positive, confident understanding of the world and of human nature, this is why Padre Pio says, courage, courage, courage. Reminds me of Third Secret of Fatima. Penance, 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 but courage, courage, courage. For the church is already invaded by Freemasonry. And Freemasonry has already arrived at the slippers of the Pope, 1963. So what I would say to people who watch this video, there's going to be people who watch this video and they're skeptics. And they say, oh, Taylor Marshall's at it again. This Freemasonry and all this stuff. Look, I'm just communicating to y'all the words of Padre Pio. Ultimately, you're not going to have to say, well, I'm just rejecting what that guy Marshall said on YouTube. What a crank. I don't care. I'm nobody. I'm literally nobody. I'm not a cardinal. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. I am a nobody. 100 years from now, no one will even know who I am. I will be in the earth. Hopefully, my soul will be in purgatory on its way to heaven, God willing. No one will know who I am. But I think ultimately what you have to ask yourself today is Padre Pio crazy? Is Padre Pio a crank? Is Padre Pio a conspiracy theorist? Did Padre Pio have it wrong when he kissed the ring of Archbishop Lefebvre? When he said, Satan has entered the bosom of the church? When Padre Pio said there's a false church emerging, and when he said we're entering the great apostasy. Ultimately, you need to say, I think if you reject all this, you think it's just a conspiracy, infiltration, just a dumb book, just to sell copies, it doesn't fake conspiracy theory. Ultimately, you just have to say Padre Pio was a crank. He was wrong. That's what you got to do. You don't have to say, well, I don't really like Vigano's tone or his nuances, or I don't know, Bishop Schneider seems sort of fanatical sometimes, whatever. Basically, it's kind of the liar, lunatic Lord situation, you know, from C.S. Lewis. Our Lord Jesus Christ was either a liar, he was deceiving everyone, he was a lunatic, crazy, or he truly was the Lord, second person of the Trinity, the Logos. Those are your three options, liar, lunatic Lord. Padre Pio, same way. When it comes to Satan being in the bosom of the church and the great apostasy and a counter church emerging, he's either lying to you, he's crazy, or he's dead on. And I think most of you in 2021, having lived through the summer of shame, McCarrick, and having lived through the debacle of churches shutting down and denying sacraments during COVID, and then also seeing the Pachamama idols erected in the Vatican, I think Padre Pio's right. I think Padre Pio nailed it because he was close to the Lord. He was closer to the Lord and Our Lady than you and I will ever be. Let's be honest. So where do we go from here? Father Gabriel Moore, he tells us what to do. He says, look, where do we go from here? Can these things be avoided? And he says they can be, but we got to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Has that been done? I have a video on it. It's here on YouTube. I lay out the different facts. Also in my book, Infiltration, I explore the topic and explain why or why it hasn't been consecrated. I believe it hasn't been satisfactorily complicated. Consecrate Russia. And pray the rosary every single day. Where have you heard that from? I say it like a broken record because we have to do it. Pray the rosary every single day. You're not on the team. Let us do prayer and penance. Are you fasting and abstaining from meat every Friday of the year, unless it's on a first class day or day of precept? We must do penance. Do you have children who have left the faith, a spouse who has left the faith, a parent who has left the faith, people who are lost in sin, deceived by Satan? Are we doing penance for them? Yes, pray a memorare for them. Yes, pray an Our Father for them. Yes, have a mass said for them, but also pray, fast, deny yourself. Jesus said there's some demons, they only come out through prayer and fasting. Third secret of Fatima, what does the angel say that holds back the wrath of God against humanity? Penance, penance, penance. Triple play penance. We got to do penance. Penance. Yeah, but Taylor, penance doesn't feel good. It hurts real bad. I know. Penance is uncomfortable. That's why it's powerful. Prayer, penance. Pray the rosary. Pray the little office. Pray all 150 Psalms. Lectio Divina. Read the scripture. Pray. Mental prayer. Take your iPhone. Put on a timer, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Hit it. Try your best to pray. You might say, well, I only got like 1 minute of prayer. Praise God, you got 1 minute of good prayer with the Lord. That's valuable. That's gold. That's what Padre Pio was trying to do all the time, and he did do it. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added. You know, for me, I'm a convert to Catholicism. I used to be an Episcopal priest before I was a Catholic. Came into the church. I had read my way into the church. I read, you know, St. Francis de Sales. I had read Aquinas. I had read some St. Augustine books. I'd read Jerome. I'd, you know, read some books by the popes. When I came into the church, it was different. It seemed more Protestant, even though I'd been raised Protestant. And then I began to learn about scandals in seminaries, scandals with bishops, scandals in Rome. I got closer to it, I started to be concerned about the church, the theology, the morality, the liturgy. There seemed to be a disconnect. And you can kind of wonder, well, am I going crazy? Is it buyer's remorse? What's going on here? And that's why I did the investigation, because of I wanted to know of how did the church get this way. That's why I wrote the book Infiltration. Am I crazy? Is it buyer's remorse? Or did something actually happen? So for me, when I read these words of Padre Pio, to me, I don't want to say a relief, because that kind of implies that it's something good. What it is it's a confirmation that my belief in Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the Roman Church, and everything revealed by Christ to the apostles through time in the last 2,000 years, it's not all fake. But what we're dealing with here is the great apostasy, infiltration. The church is an eclipse. In a way, there's an illness. That doesn't mean that the faith isn't true. That doesn't mean the sacraments aren't true or valid. But it does mean that we're living through a crisis, an eclipse, a sickness. And that's just a call to us to be the Maccabee, to fight harder, to pray harder, to catechize harder, to do penance harder, to be saints. That's what we're called to do today. So may Padre Pio pray for us. I don't think he was lying. I don't think Padre Pio was a lunatic. I think Padre Pio was dead on. Satan has infiltrated into the bosom of the church. Freemasonry has invaded, he says, into the church. There's a false church competing. See, the false church is like a parasite feeding on the healthy body. What's the healthy body? The true church. The one true Catholic and Apostolic Church. There's this parasite stealing nutrition, stealing people, stealing sacraments, stealing money, stealing victims to feed its lust, to feed its wicked desires. That's the counter church. Courage, courage, courage. Penance, penance, penance. All right, y'all, thanks for watching. I'm going to be giving away, everybody wants this, the Father Lassant's missile. It's pre-55, traditional Latin mass missile. You can't buy them. They're sold out. I have a few. I bought a bunch of them when they were reprinted before they sold out again. I'm going to give this away to my patrons. If you're one of my Patreon patrons, you're going to get, I just gave away those two rosaries, but I'm going to give away this Father Lassant. I'm also going to give away the Latin and English edition of the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas Aquinas. There it is. It's the one I use at home. It has Latin and English. This is the big kahuna. If you're doing your PhD, this is the one you have on your bookshelf. I'm going to buy that for you, and I'm going to mail it to you. I'm going to give you the Father Lassant's. What else am I going to get you? Oh, I'm going to send you a signed copy of Infiltration. And I'm going to give you a year of the Benedictus Latin Mass Missalette. So that's for all, just a thank you. People liked that. And I thought, you know what? I need to be even more grateful to all of y'all that make this show, this YouTube channel, this podcast, this thing right here with the webcam. Those of you that make that possible for me, I want to say thank you once again. So if you want to be in this drawing, I'm going to draw it on Pentecost Sunday, which is May 23rd. I'll actually probably do it on May 24th, Whit Monday. If you want to be a part of that, go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. Also, if you're a student at New St. Thomas Institute, I'll put you in the running as well. So I'll be giving away that, the Lassant's. It's going to be legit. I think I said it already. If you like this video, like it with the thumbs up. Please share it. That's the most important thing you can do. Get new viewers over here. So hit the share button, share it on Facebook or Twitter. And then if you're new, please do subscribe. Even if you're not new, check that subscribe button. So if you're in the live chat, X out the live chat. You won't lose it. You'll see a subscribe button. Are you subscribed? Is the bell hit? If not, YouTube may have taken it off. Do it again. All right. And remember to pray the rosary every day. I said it already, but I got to say it again. The Virgin Mary says it. Padre Pio says it. Father Gabriel Amor says it. Let's just pray the rosary every day. 15 to 20 minutes, 22 minutes max to say a third of a rosary, 5 decades. Guys, this is bare minimum Catholicism. I mean, you can't even get in physical shape by working out 15 minutes a day. I mean, it's better than nothing, but we gotta give some effort to being a Catholic. And Our Lady magnifies the Lord. Her soul magnifies the Lord. She gives us the weapon, the battling ram. That is the rosary. Pray the rosary every day. You're not a team. Also, read the Bible every single day. You know, you can hear bad sermons every once in a while, or even heretical sermons. It's going to hurt you. It wounds you, whether you know it or not. But if you're reading the Bible, that's always going to be good theology being poured into you. Now, you have to be careful. You can't interpret the Bible however you want. It has to be interpreted in magisterium and with tradition. But reading the Bible strengthens you to think properly about the whole world, to have a right worldview. So read the Bible every day. By the way, if you're one of my Patreon patrons. If you're one of my Patreons, I send out every week about theological articles, books of the Bible that you can put in the VoiceStream app so you can listen to them. So, for example, you can listen to the Gospel of John. I try to listen to the Gospel of John, the whole thing, 21 chapters every Friday. You can do that. It's not hard. It takes about an hour. Do it while you drive. Do it while you work out. The Book of Psalms. I'm going to be adding the Little Office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. All kinds of articles, all kinds of scripture. If you're a Patreon patron, it's over there. Just go over there and you can download it. All right, let's close up with the Hail Mary. And we're going to pray for the strength of the one true church against the counter church. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et ad hora mortis nostre. Amen. Sancte Pie, ora pro nobis, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends, thanks for watching. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.